Hello and welcome indeed to RTFM, the monthly audio discharge brought to you by SciTech World Superpower, The Register. I'm Claire Swires, reporting today from our state-of-the-art broadcasting facility at Vulture Central, the one-stop shop for all your pretexting needs.
Thanks, Claire. I look forward to getting pretexted myself when I get a day off. In the meantime, dominating the news this week is the revelation that the release of Microsoft Windows Vista operating system has been delayed yet again. Of course, the release date has been moved back more times than the victory party for the end of the war on terror. But it now looks like early November is go. As long as they get rid of the bugs and the European Union is happy, of course. For anyone concerned that their Christmas present might have the wrong operating system, worry not. Anyone buying a computer before the software is ready will get a funky little voucher for a cheap upgrade.
The United States is pushing to lay the groundwork for a global border database, whereby countries would share biometric data on undesirables and international riffraff. The Department of Homeland Security's Biometrics Program Manager explained.
It's about keeping out folks from countries to have more of a global border per se. Shouldn't like-minded countries be told when someone's been kept out of the U.S.? That's a necessary next step because immigration has become a worldwide issue.
The U.S. denied that the intention was to fingerprint Joe Public. Of course, it's not about fingerprinting Joe Public. It's about fingerprinting Abdul Muhammad.
Cisco has made a splash by unveiling a high-end video conferencing system. Its new Telepresence meeting system delivers ultra-high-definition video, twice as good as HD, the company claims, so you can see every sweaty pore. HDTV, it has been suggested, will make several of today's Hollywood stars unmarketable by revealing new levels of unsightly facial detail. Will it do the same for execs, or will they be obliged to hire makeup and wardrobe technicians? Either way, at $299,000 per conference room, it doesn't come cheap.
Personal data on more than 8,000 customers of banks and users of e-commerce sites such as eBay and Amazon was snared by a keylogging Trojan, police revealed last week. Interpol is now looking to discover who was behind the scam. A computer seized in the US had details of more than 2,000 Brits, and it seems the hackers used innocent-looking instant messenger conversations to pinch the info. Police are still trying to work out just how much money was stolen.
Hello, mate. Where to? Hewlett-Packard. Right, you are. Tell you what, I had that Mark Erd in the back last week. Stuck the mobile out of sight quick as a flash, I can tell you. I said to him, I won't stand for no pretexting in this cab, me old son. Well, the wife's still on tablets from the doctor since she got pretexted. Been off sick from the Wall Street Journal for a month, she has. Bleed now. All she did was chew the fat with some geezer called George Keyworth, and the next thing you know, her phone records are plastered all over cyberspace. Indy bleeding, Kate, you plonker! Anyway, I reckon this would never have happened when old Carly Fiorina was in charge. As much business sense as a sack full of spanners, but she wouldn't stand for no spying nonsense, no way. Yeah, bit of a looker too. Sorry, mate. Gonna have to go via Basingstoke. Oxford Street's busier than the California Attorney General's office. Yeah, and speaking of lookers, I had that Naomi Campbell in the back last week, and I asked her, where to, princess, and she said, F off and respect my privacy. Bleeding charming.
This is data, Mr. Bond. All my life I've been in love with its color, its brilliance, its divine marketability. I welcome any enterprise that will increase my stock, which is considerable.
Yes, I've seen myself on YouTube. The copyright lawyers will be in touch.
Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It may be your last.
But I don't understand. You plan to acquire all the world's data? Why?
Because we can, Mr. Bond.
First, there was the dream. Now, there is reality. A Google Earth controlled entirely by contextualized advert algorithms and monetized Web 2.0 applications. The day will come when your puny governments will pay deference to the ultimate dynasty which I alone have created. You're insane, Brandfinger. Millions will be uselessly enslaved to the Google brand. 6.5 billion, to be precise. Do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die. There is nothing you can talk to me about that I have not already captured, cached, and cross-referenced. Goodbye, Mr. Bond.
In the wonderful world of litigation, IBM last week issued two lawsuits against e-commerce monolith Amazon for willfully violating various patents for such services as allowing users to order items from an electronic catalog and displaying internet advertising. Mercifully, a quick search of the United States Patent and Trademark Office revealed that IBM does not appear to hold a patent on the entire concept of e-commerce, although the company's case is not without precedent. The patent kerfuffle fans among you will remember Amazon's successful attack on BarnesandNoble.com, which proved that it alone could claim to have invented the one-click system, allowing customers to make repeat purchases at a website with just one mouse click, storing customer details for future use.
Former Silicon Valley superstar SGI clambered out of bankruptcy last week and immediately slapped a patent infringement lawsuit on ATI for an outrage against patent 6,650,327. The snappily named display system having floating point rasterization and floating point frame buffering. SGI has already licensed the patent, which it was granted in 2003, and hinted more litigation was to come. We remember when SGI used to make stuff. These days, all it seems to do is brief lawyers.
Out on the mean streets, meanwhile, GPS maker TomTom has appealed to a Dutch court to prevent the sale in Europe of two StreetPilot GPS models from US rival Garmin. TomTom claims Garmin copied its design at CeBIT in 2004. Garmin had earlier sued TomTom for patent infringement. We're still waiting for the first person to go to court because the infernal talking box had instructed them to drive off a cliff. Good afternoon, Professor Pillinger. That's a fine new pair of gelding tongs you've got there.
Hello there, Mr. Yan. No, that's the guidance system for our next Mars lander. Oh, Davy the blacksmith has been working with MIT on it for 2 years.
Why, that's splendid. How is the fundraising going?
Well, we raised 7 and 6 pence with a tombola at the village fete, and next week we're going to wheel Daisy out in the big field for a bit of bovine bingo. Could I interest you in a ticket?
Why not indeed? Put me down for Square E13 and let's hope Daisy's more accurate than Beagle 2, eh?
Oh, Miss Diane, you are a one. You really are. Who's life up with the big house, then?
Well, not good. Sir Richard's still waiting for delivery of the Airbus A380 he ordered back in 2002. It's the only aircraft big enough to fly his entire brood of backstairs illegitimate offspring over to Necker Island for the summer, and he's pretty hacked off about the latest delay.
I shouldn't be surprised if he's still waiting come lambing time. Mad Bob down at the mill has cancelled his order and says he's going for a Boeing Dreamliner instead.
I should think so too. Oh yes, the vicar asked me to mention New Element 118. He wondered if you had any suggestions as to a proper name. I mean, you can't call a synthetic element Unanoctium. Sounds like something opium-based you give overactive children. Perhaps we could honour a scientific luminary, someone who's not yet received the recognition he fully deserves for his selfless commitment to the advancement of human knowledge.
Well, Miss Diane, there is one man whose name immediately springs to mind.
Yes, of course. We'll call it Warriconium. Well done, Professor Pillinger. Kevin will be pleased.
Interesting. A 1994 Bombardier X-Class with the elastic bogey modification.
No, I think you'll find that the Elastic Bogey mod was only introduced after serial number 07125.
I see. I'll make the necessary corrections to the log.
By the way, according to a moderately interesting post on Uncle Tom Cobley's Geek Felch blog, Firefox is dangerously exposed to buffer overflow attack on port 666, offering hackers the possibility of infesting compromised Linux systems with potentially life-threatening random obscenity-generating Trojans.
Well, I think you'll find that according to Heidelstein's probability vortex theory of 1894, a hack through port 666 would require the use of a theoretical quantum botnet.
No, I think you'll find that a rather provocative post on this week's Natalie Portman virtual nip-slip Lear site moots the possible existence of an 11-dimensional crystalline quantum matrix.
Oh, actually, I think you'll find that this has already been used in episode 37 of Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Yes, but I think you'll find that when Picard exits the Enterprise's 11-dimensional crystalline quantum matrix room, the sliding door actually makes the sound of a Klingon bird of prey sliding door.
Agreed, but I think you'll find that...
This is the station manager. Will the two geeks on platform 4 please shove off and get a life? Thank you.
Okay, George, here it is. After 3,000 hours of customer-focused flipchart brainstorming and PowerPoint thrust marketing, we're standing on the verge of a corporate brand frontage paradigm shift. Pippa, if you'd be so kind.
Right, Bob. The rebranded logo, as you can see here, is the union of three intrinsically linked yin-yang elements, representing the company's threefold commitment to advancing relationships, insight, and delivering mission-critical poly services to our end-user demographic. They speak directly to our partners in a voice which says, "Relax, we're here for you as franchisor, processor, and advisor. Let's do lunch."
Exactly, Pippa. The colors, while bold, express tradition and stability. They also suggest multiple energies, thrust, synergy, fusion, and evolution, while their essential friendliness conjures a sense of well-being based on interaction, research, optimism, and flexibility.
Fantastic. The font naturally is authoritative and masculine, with subtly rounded, womb-like intersections and a lozengular cerise sweet spot, expressing a sense of renewal and our shared commitment to embody the collaborative business experience. What do you think?
What do I think? I think I'm running a bleeding scrap metal business is what I think, and I've paid 60 grand for three circles with me name underneath them. I told you lot I wanted a picture of a bleeding grabber picking up a Ford Mondeo. And to be honest, this cobbler's is not saying to me, I need to get rid of me old Ford Mondeo, so I reckon I'll take it down to Dagenham Scrap Metal, because that's the place with a logo with a grabber picking up the old Ford Mondeo.
Right, I'm with you. Let's kick this one over the fence and see if the neighbour throws it back. An essentially masculine grabber with sensually rounded prongs, gently embracing the Mondeo in a way which suggests we respect the past but recognise the need to evolve towards a future which better defines the value proposition the company represents to the constituents.
Woo! Woo! Yeah!
Right, I did it!
Okay! Cool.
Well, that's about all from RTFM this month, except to report that a four-legged chicken in New Zealand has tragically passed away.
Indeed, Fawzi's sudden demise came at the end of a short life, during which he provided owner Marlena Dickey with a bit of a laugh, as she told local media.
Forsey's death was not, however, as a result of excess legs. Rather, Dicky fingered an extra anus as the probable cause.
He developed two bottoms and I think he got glugged up,
she explained. Nope, we don't understand how that works either. Thanks for listening.
Bye.